Talk.
Welcome back, 14 minutes to 10 o'clock. A tweet by UCT Professor of Infectious Diseases and Grotesquare Doctor Mark Mendelson caught my attention on Tuesday, and it said, mixed emotions as first of our COVID-19 high care units closed at Grotesquare Hospital as we descend the third wave. Quiet rains and HFNO machines stand idle, waiting for the fourth wave. Many survive, but too many mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, husbands, wives, partners, and friends died. Please get vaccinated now. And accompanied with that tweet are two pictures of an empty high care ward. And the ping and the machines that go ping are silent. But for how long? South Africa's test positivity rate falling under 10% for the first time now in 4 months. Regan Thor reporting in Eyewitness News, South Africa's infection rate being at its lowest in the last 3 months. It clearly shows that we're at the end, at the low end of our waves. But for how long? Dr. Zamir Prey is a member of the Grotesquare Hospital ward. Zamir, thanks so much for joining us here on the Morning Review. How are you doing?
Thanks so much, Lester. Doing very well, and thanks for having us on your show.
A fourth wave, not if but when, but also its intensity largely impacted on whether there is a demand and the rate of people getting vaccinated. What is currently happening in Grotesquare at the moment with at least one of your high care wards mothballed for now? Who knows when it will open and what rate of requirement would be needed? How many beds would be needed? That's the thing that we don't know yet.
Absolutely, Lester. And, you know, it really is for us one of those rare times where we're almost hoping that those machines gather dust, Lester, that we don't even have to think about opening those wards again, at least for COVID, in the face of a fourth wave. And just to paint the picture a little more clearly, you know, if we think about during the second wave when nobody was vaccinated and how that picture has changed for a third wave, when we saw that only 4% of people admitted across the Western Cape were among those that were vaccinated, meaning that 96% of people were unvaccinated that were admitted to multiple hospitals across the province, brings us a sense of hope that vaccinations are working. And if anything, it is in our power to flatten and you know, eliminate the fourth wave or make that a blip rather than a wave. Really, Lester, the only waves we would like to talk about for the end of the year are the waves at the beach.
What then happens? What do doctors and high care nurses do now? Of course, they get absorbed to the other areas of the hospital, dealing with particularly the trauma units that have been put under severe strain because many of the doctors, many of the bed space have had to be made for COVID patients. What do they do now?
Absolutely. You know, Lester, I think that many of the other routine services have come to a grinding halt with much regret, because we have many patients who've been waiting not days or weeks, but months for their treatment, which has been postponed, diagnosis, all sorts of treatment for cancer, for surgery, for organ transplants, for hip replacements. And these patients have continued to suffer. Obviously, nobody's fault, but as a result of the COVID pandemic, many of these routine services come to a grinding halt. And so what we really want to start doing now is recovering those services, bringing them back online in as much as much capacity as possible, so that we don't have, you know, the downstream consequences of complications from other diseases where patients then have worse outcomes. And so it's not only the trauma services, but our routine elective surgeries, et cetera.
And that means those elective surgeries can now start happening again at a greater rate. And also people who have maybe even largely avoid presenting themselves to hospitals, maybe even returning now. What are some of the procedures, what are some of the electives that have had to be placed on hold during the third wave?
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, I think that when we look 18 months ago, while we would have considered some of those surgeries elective, you know, with an opportunity to have some time to do them, some of those have unfortunately become complicated and have become urgent or emergent surgeries. But some of those are, for example, you know, Lister and somebody that may have needed a hip replacement for very severe arthritis, who's been on pain medication for years, somebody who's needed cataract surgery, you know, with severe blindness, somebody you know, may have been waiting for a transplant. All those kinds of surgeries have, you know, had to go on hold. And also diagnosis of cancer, because our diagnostic capabilities, the capacity to do investigations and scans, et cetera, was obviously slowed down because a lot of that attention was diverted to COVID. And I think this is another message that comes out here, is that when people take the responsibility to flatten the COVID curve, we're not only creating, we're not only decreasing the burden of COVID on the system, but we then enable the system to recover and respond to all those other things so that, you know, people get the care they need, they deserve, et cetera. And also, I think the thing we're really looking forward to is, as a team of nurses, porters, doctors, is getting back to, you know, a normal kind of functioning. This has not been a normal time. It's been very anxiety-provoking. It's been difficult. It's been deeply traumatic for our staff, having to see so much loss around them. And so even as we see the numbers come down, Lester, you know, right today we only got 143 patients in our hospitals compared to the peak of the wave where we had 300 plus patients. But it's still every single patient we lose at this point is somebody's mother, father, son or daughter. And the impact of that loss on the emotions of staff had been very significant and far-reaching. And, you know, I was speaking to the CEO very early this morning, and she says, for many of the staff, they have not even had the time to grieve. They themselves have lost loved ones, but they're coming to work the next day. And then they still see, you know, the loss. They are losing patients themselves. So it's been a painful time. And we are now trying to pull together all of that energy to try and, you know, gear up for recovering the other services and get back to routine.
I guess we always expected, and this is from the very start, we thought 21 days, there's a start, there'll be a definitive end, it's clear, back to normal life. And we've come to the realization there won't be an official end. Things will peter out. Things will sort of become normalized. When does a national health department or a provincial or even a hospital like Groote Schuur saying, you know what, we've closed this chapter, or do we just sort of grow into normality? When do we say, is it when the final patient is wheeled out of Groote Schuur Hospital?
You know, I think that one of the things we're going to keep reminding ourselves about COVID is we think we know a lot until it teaches us something else, and that's nearly every day. And so I think we're all cautious about, you know, saying we can see the end of this tunnel. But I think that what we do want to be able to do is with the tools that we have at hand, is try and, you know, decrease the extent to which COVID kind of burdens the system. And so we must have discussions about, you know, how we bring online the other routine services. But to that extent, you know, COVID is likely to be with us for some time to come. Now we hope that it just becomes such a normal service that it doesn't hit the headlines every day. You know, it should just line up against some of the other services, so that because it's having a much less of an impact.
The machines that go ping, starting to go silent yesterday, replaced by some other instruments that go ping and ding and have a more pleasant sound. The Cape Philharmonic performing outside Groteske Hospital yesterday must have been a bit of a treat, a small little thank you for the healthcare workers and their work over the last few months.
Absolutely, Lester. I mean, it was just one of the most wonderful moments in the hospital's history. Really, to see, I wish you would have been there, but even for those that could not be there, please take the time, grab a coffee, watch the YouTube. I just want to share with you a little bit of the emotion that happened there. That event was done as a tribute to healthcare workers across the country. And I can tell you from the feedback we've had from the thousands of people that watched, not only across the country, but as far as the UK, New Zealand, Australia, Germany, etc., those notes resonated with people. There was an outpouring of gratitude and thanks to healthcare workers for what they've done, for what they sacrificed. And if you look at some of the images captured on Gallo and many other sites, you will feel the warmth that, you know, came with yesterday's event. It reverberated across not only the corridors of the hospital, but it really does feel like it is an appropriate tribute and hopefully a turning of the tide on COVID in partnership with the Cape Philharmonic Orchestra. So, you know, just a lovely little gesture, but has had a great impact. And, you know, the one thing that kind of really sticks out for us is some of the reflections from healthy workers themselves yesterday. The pictures speak for themselves, but people felt acknowledged. They felt like, you know, somebody was putting on a special show just for them. And those notes went straight to the heart.
Dr. Zamir Frey, Groteske Hospital board member. If you were one of the people at the performance yesterday at the Cape Philharmonic, I wish I could have been there as a musical tribute, an hour-long concert in tribute of South Africa's healthcare workers. If you were there, want to let me know how it was for you, 021-446-0566.